I don't know which eye to look out of. One eye needs glasses and the other one doesn't. What am I to do? So I'm putting them on. Okay. We're in Psalm 20 tonight. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed, and he will save him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, the King. Answer us in the day we call. Now that almost sounds like one of the benedictions that Steve's been closing our services with. That's an Old Testament one almost. But tonight as we look at this psalm, Psalm 20 is paired with Psalm 21 that follows it. In many ways, they form a unit. In Psalm 20, the people of God pray for their king, David. In Psalm 21, the Old Testament saints thank God for answering their prayer. Tonight, we'll discuss primarily Psalm 20, where the people of God address their king as a prayer to God. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And it goes on. And as we read this psalm, it should always be in the back of our minds that this psalm is messianic. The Lord saves his anointed. As we Christians are well aware that David, even because of and sometimes in spite of who he was a type of the great king who would eventually come, even our Lord Jesus. Today, as Christians, when we read this psalm, we see that God was faithful to Jesus in all things, that Jesus, our King, goes before us and we follow him, picking up our own cross to serve him. We as Christians are a messianic people. So tonight, as we go through this psalm, we'll just make some observations. And just a little point here. I just said that this is a messianic psalm, and it was considered that until around 30 A.D. by the rabbis. What happened in around 30 A.D.? Jesus came. And so all of a sudden the rabbis said, well, you know, maybe this isn't, messianic. But it was, and we read it that way. So let's begin here in verse 1. Verse 1 is a simple prayer that the people of God prayed for their King David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. What was this day of trouble for King David? Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Some think it was the trouble that David brought on himself because his sin with Bathsheba. Others think it may have just been some particularly fierce military campaign. Still others think it was the trouble David had with his son Absalom. But I'm grateful for verses like these because it allows us to fill in the blanks. The idea of calling on the Lord is repeated. Calling on the Lord in the day of trouble is repeated in Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. We are to call upon him in our day of trouble. That trouble can be anything. What troubles you may not trouble me. What troubles me may not trouble you. Some of us are thick-skinned. Someone could say something mean to us, and some of us go, huh. And another person may be crushed. Trouble is a relative thing, but they pray, the saints prayed, may the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. And they're presuming that David was a praying person, aren't they? The thought that God's people and that David and ultimately Jesus called upon God is amplified here. David prayed at the time of his trouble. Jesus prayed in the time of great trouble, and God answered. God's answer, as in Psalm 50 has it, gives God great glory. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and you shall glorify God. It's pretty simple to glorify God, is it not? Are you in trouble? Call upon God. You'll glorify Him. We always think we must do something mighty to give God glory. No, just call upon Him in your day of trouble. He wants to hear us pray, and His answer to our prayer will give Him great glory. Do you want to give God glory? Be a praying person. Whatever your trouble might be, pray. Troubles of our age are manifold. The troubles of these very days in which we live can hardly be numbered. Do you want to see the God get glory that is His due? Then pray. He will answer in you in your day of trouble. Now, here the prayer of the people for David is that God would be David's security. And call, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. Security. I'm convinced that I'm most insecure and at my most troubled when I lose sight of the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is seated on high in heavenly places, that He rules even now in the midst of His enemies. This is the security that God's people long for. It's a spiritual security that surpasses any of our temporal troubles. May He set you securely on high. In a battle, and David was a warrior, the high ground was the safe ground. Notice here that it says, may the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. There's a sweetness to the idea here that God is called the God of Jacob. Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou art good and ready to forgive. Join this idea of forgiveness with the idea that He is the God of Jacob, then these four simple words, the name of the God of Jacob, overflow with meaning. You'll remember that the rascal Jacob, in his desperation, clung to God for a blessing, and God had mercy upon him. God had mercy on Jacob. God had mercy on King David. And He has mercy on us when we call upon Him. We should banish all thought that somehow we must deserve God's blessing before He will bless us. For David and for Jacob and for us, grace is the final word. Lay hold of this. Ultimately, our security, the security for which all men long for, is the grace of God. Our God is the God of Jacob. Men seek security in all sorts of places. So it'd be convenient for us to jump down to verse 7 right here. Some boast in chariots and some boast in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. We must grab hold of this. The help we are needing ultimately will arrive at God's bidding and at God's command. Do we boast in chariots and horses? Wealth, political power, our abilities, these are the things men boast in, but not God's people. We boast in what we know about Him. We boast in the name of the Lord our God. The phrase, in the name of the Lord, simply means the accumulated knowledge and experience that His people have gathered up over time, over the centuries, as they walked with Him. This is encapsulated in the phrase, the name of the Lord our God. This is His name. Everything in this life, everyone, and all things will fail us. These are the chariots and the horses of the ancient Israel's day. Some may boast in these things, but not us. Our security can be had only from the God of Jacob. Now this leads us to verse 2. May He send you help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. Now, if you join that verse in verse 2 with the last half of verse 6, we see that Zion is symbolic of heaven itself. He will answer him, that is David, from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 110, verse 2 reads, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." He will answer him from his holy heaven. Note here, the help that the saints are praying for, King David, will come from the holy sanctuary, support from Zion. Now, I was quite taken with a phrase or a sentence or two that Kylan Delitzsch said, these Old Testament scholars. And they say this, "May He send you help like auxiliary troops that decide the victory." May He send you help like auxiliary troops that decide the victory. When God sends help, victory is assured. May He send you help from Zion, from heaven. The saints of God, King David, needed help from heaven. Jesus was strengthened as He prayed in the garden with help from heaven. You and I need help from heaven. In the midst of our battle, when the strife is fierce and the warfare long, then steals on the ear the distant triumph song. God sends help. Lord, help and support from heaven, from Zion. I think that sometimes there'll come a time when we look back on our lives with the clarity of heavenly vision, we will see that God often sent aid just in time as we needed it. Help from Zion. Now look at verse 4. The people of God pray for King David. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. And in verse 5 we see, we will sing for joy over your victory. In the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. God had put holy and pure desires in David's heart, and the people of God knew it. Now of course David wasn't perfect, but they loved David for the very fact of who David was. His heart desired good things for his people. He had planned wise things, good counsel for the nation. God had made petitions before God that reflected his sincere desires that God get glory. David was a man, as the scripture says, a man after God's own heart. And the people of God prayed that David's desires would come to fruition. And when they did, the people of God would sing for joy and set up banners in praise of God. The people of God, like their king, are unique in the earth, a people in whose heart ask great things of God and will set up banners for his glory when he answers their prayers. Now, over the centuries, God has instilled in his people mighty desires as he instilled in David mighty desires. They have attempted great things for God, and the gospel spread across inner China via the work of the China Inland Mission. God was granting the heart's desire of Hudson Taylor. God begins with men's hearts. And so they prayed for David, "May God grant all your desires." And people streamed down the altar at the preaching of Billy Graham. It was the fulfillment of the heart's desire of Billy Graham and those who were praying with him. When God acts in the earth, the people of God rejoice and they set up their banners. God answers us as we attempt great things for him and as we desire great things for his kingdom. At this point, I'm reminded of Amy Carmichael, who said, "Lord, answer us in our depths, not in the shallows." Remember that? Often we're all consumed about, you know, "I'd like to make the house payment." And so we pray about that. Or, "I wish that toilet would stop leaking. Keeps me awake all night." We just, our thoughts and our minds are set on such trivialities. But, oh, Amy Carmichael said, "May he answer us in the depths of our being where the Spirit rules, not in the shallows." But they prayed, the people prayed for David, "May God grant you the desires of your heart and fulfill all your counsel." God granted power, as I just mentioned, on Billy Graham. I'm telling you, it reached right down through Billy Graham's preaching to a Sunday afternoon when there wasn't much on television, and I was watching Billy Graham preach. And a little boy heard it. And I was some ignoramus. I didn't know anything about anything at all. They didn't write. Nevertheless, I knew nothing. But the power of God touched my heart, and I wanted what Billy Graham was talking about. I didn't even pray over it, but I wanted it. God had granted the people of God their heart's desire. Now let's look at verse 6 and 7 together. "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some boast in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." Notice the pronouns, "I" and "we." Would you look at that again? "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." Now, I know this is a minor point, but I think it's significant nonetheless. In verse 6, the writer of the psalm speaks of himself. "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed." In verse 7, the whole congregation joins with him, "but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God." the congregation of Israel, Jesus' church, is made up of individuals, the eyes. And as they make up, these individuals make up the we. The church is populated with individual people who know God. Now, I hope I'm not making too much point of this, but I say that the church is made up of individuals, and as individuals, the church is populated with people who know God. This is what makes a powerful church. As you see it here tonight, if you claim to be a part of God's people, yet do not know Him, then we have a mixed multitude. God's congregation in the earth, the church, the visible church here and here and now, is at its greatest when she is populated with people who know Him as individuals. Do you know God? The man that wrote this psalm did. And the whole congregation of Israel boasted in God. But we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now, we've already mentioned verse 7, but let's look at it along with verse 8. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have stood upright. You and I are those who experience the timely aid of God's auxiliary troops, who represent the strength of God's right hand. And this help saves the day. We have not merely experienced deliverance from victory, but we have experienced deliverance from ruin itself. Notice the people of God have risen and stood upright. The enemies have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. When the shadow of death cast its deathly pallor over the saints rise and experience resurrection victory. The church of the King is the church militant, but it is also the church triumphant, whose banners we wave when God raises us up. We have risen and stood upright. Now in verse 6. Now I know the Lord saves His anointed. Now here we are with this messianic psalm. His anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. Join this with Psalm 21, verses 3, verse 4. Thou dost meet him, that is David, with the blessing of good things. Thou hast set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou dost give it to him, length of days forever and ever. And this sounds very familiar to what we read in Acts, where Peter references the Davidic psalm, Psalm 16. Therefore David, being a prophet, and knowing that God would swear with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. This gives us a hint and guidance on how we should read Psalm 21, verse 3 and 4. Thou dost meet him with blessing of good things. Thou dost set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou dost give it to him forever and ever. This is the Lord saving his anointed, as in verse 6 of 20. I know this is all hard to follow, so if when you get this, you might want to reread it. And we'll send it to you. But Jesus is the mighty Messiah, God's anointed, who was crowned with gold and was given length of days forever and ever. This is the King whom we worship. So let's think of Psalm 20 this way. Verse 1, Jesus prayed in the days of trouble. Verse 4, may the Lord grant all of his desires and fulfill all of his counsel. Verse 5, may the Lord fulfill all of Jesus' petitions. Did the Father deny Jesus anything? And in Psalm 21, verse 4, Jesus' prayer, he asked life of thee, and thou didst give it to him, length of days forever and ever. Or to put it this way, may Jesus, after his own resurrection, see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Now we skip verse 3, you probably didn't notice, but let's go back to it. May God remember all of his meal offerings, and all of his burnt offerings find acceptable. This is the people in King David's day asking God to remember kindly David's sacrifices. These things were originally prayed for King David, but they find ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, who laid down his life as a sacrifice, as an offering of himself on the cross. Here the saints are asking God to remember King David's burnt offerings, which are very much like the water poured out in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6. You remember that? How the saints poured out in the Old Testament, poured water out before God. Burnt offerings, once they are consumed by the fire, are gone. Water, once poured out, is gone as well. But in verse 3, the people of God are praying for King David that God would remember these sacrifices that David had made. God the Father saw and remembered David's sacrifices and burnt offerings as a life poured out like water. He saw and remembered Jesus' turning from the world, laying down his life for lost souls. And may we be so bold as to say, his messianic people, God remembers them when we choose the cross and lay down our life for him. He remembers each time, each day, as we pick up our cross and follow him. He remembers each act of self-denial and choosing his will. He remembers when we choose the cross to follow King David's greater son, Jesus. Now, this is a bit biographical, pardon me. The young who now serve Christ their King are busy pouring out their lives before the Lord, burning sacrifices. Old folks, like me, ask the Lord to remember the sacrifices we have made. And he does. Christ sees as we die to the world, turning to him forever. First, the pouring out of our life like water, the burnt offerings, the dying, the cross, but then the crown. The crown will be placed on our heads by the God who remembers. You cannot out-sacrifice God. The crown will be placed on our heads by the God who remembers. And of course, we will cast those crowns back to him who gave us the victory. you in your best moments have laid your life before your King and said, Lord, take my life. I don't care what happens to it, I give it to you. It's like pouring water out before Him. He takes it, and I tell you, He remembers your prayer. Every one of you. He remembers. May God remember all His meal offerings and all of His burnt offerings. May He find acceptable. Okay. Until next week, I'll be here at the same time and same station. I think Mark is going to be Sunday morning. Is that right, Mark? It's okay with him. Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask you that you would answer us in the depths. Father, ignore our shallow prayers and answer us in the depths. Father, give it to us to pour out our life before you like water. Give it to us to offer burnt offerings. And receive them kindly, Lord. Father, answer us in the day of trouble. What trouble we live in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.